VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. Well, folks, Christmas is just around the corner, and it's a time when we around the world focus on certainly the birth of Christ, but it's a time when people also around the world focus on the birth of not just the child in the manger, but keep in mind this was a child born in the Middle East, a baby whose life, his death, his resurrection changed everything. And that good news of great joy that was announced by the shepherds, or announced by the angels to the shepherds, those were also Middle Eastern shepherds, and still being announced today by people that are willing to risk their freedom, even their lives, to do so. God is still working in the region of the Middle East, countries and towns where the biblical narrative took place, and our guest today has just returned to the United States after meeting with Christians from multiple countries of the Middle East, and we'd like to welcome back to Crosstalk Todd Nettleton, the Chief of Media Relations and Message Integration for Voice of the Martyrs. He's hosted the Voice of the Martyrs radio and author of When Faith is Forbidden, 40 Days in the Front Lines with Persecuted Christians. Todd, thank you for joining us today.
It is my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Indeed. Are you free to tell us what countries you travel to, or is that quiet?
I'd rather not say specific countries, just kind of to protect the people that we met with. But Middle East, we were in a couple different countries, and we met people from a couple other countries. So
great.
It was a we got a good taste of what's happening in that part of the world.
Well, we, as you likely know, we're just so caught up in this country with Christmas shopping and baking and preparing for travel, or have people traveling to us, decorating. The list just goes on, but it's so easy to be engrossed in these matters that we don't give a fleeting thought in our minds, Todd, to those who've been suffering for their faith. And we'd just like you to give us a report on what is happening with the persecuted church, with our focus today on the Middle East.
Well, one of the really sobering parts of the trip for us was meeting with Iraqi Christian refugee families who have fled to some of the surrounding nations around Iraq. And these are people that fled during the rise of ISIS 5, 6, and 7 years ago, and they fled to a neighboring country. They've registered with the United Nations as refugees. They've applied for acceptance in a free nation, maybe the U.S., maybe Canada, maybe Australia, maybe Western Europe, and they are now in limbo, waiting for that refugee process to go forward, waiting for that resettlement opportunity to come up. And, you know, in some cases, one of the guys we talked to had been in that limbo situation for 8 years. And the reason I say they're in limbo is because where they are now, they have no status. They have no legal recognition. They cannot go out and get a job. Their children are not allowed to attend the public schools. They literally are just waiting. And like I say, for years they've been waiting. And I asked one of the men that we met, hearing his story, I said, well, what do you do every day? Like, how do you pass 5 years of waiting? What do you do? And he said, well, I get up in the morning and I have breakfast, and then I go down to the park, and there's a group of us men that we kind of hang out and we talk together. And then I come home and I have lunch, and I usually take a nap. And then I go back to the park, and, you know, there's a group of men and we talk. And then I come home and I have dinner and I go to bed. And then the next day I start up and do the same thing all over again. And I just thought, boy, you know, that sounds great for about a day and a half. 5 years of that, 6 years of that, how would you even keep your sanity, let alone then, you know, all the questions about, okay, how do I feed my family? How do I, you know, how do I make a living while I'm here? So that was really a sobering reminder, because we talked about these families 5 years ago when ISIS was, you know, taking over Mosul, when they were sweeping across the Nineveh Plains. We talked about them then. We prayed for them then. But their persecution really is ongoing. It's still happening today, and they've kind of gotten under the radar of the church world.
How many refugees are we talking about?
Tens of thousands.
Really?
Literally tens of thousands, hundreds of families that are in these countries, and they're just waiting. Now, one bright spot in that part of our story, we were with a family who had just found out that Australia has accepted them for resettlement. They will be in Australia within a month, and they were so thrilled and so excited to talk about the dad. Oh, now I can get a job. The son saying, oh, now I can go back to school. I can continue my education. They said after they have been there for 5 years and 2 months, waiting for that day to come when they could go, when they could resettle and kind of restart their lives. Mm-hmm. But you think about children who have been out of school for 5 years. They're never going to get that back. You know, that it's going to be very challenging for them to catch up and make up for that lost time. And you multiply that by, like I say, thousands of families who are in that position.
And you said this is just one family that was going to gain their freedom to Australia?
One family. Wow. One family that we met with. Now, the process is going forward, and so other families, I'm sure. But mm-hmm. that one, of all the families we met, that one was the one who said, hey, we just got the news. We're going to Australia. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of one bright spot amidst a lot of really kind of heartache and just kind of depressing to think about what their lives are like and what they have been like for 5 years.
And I understand that, Todd. And at the same time, we're looking, we've got a changing world going on right now, too. And the freedoms that were once even held in Australia are no longer there. I mean, they've got a lot of repression going on there as well.
It is interesting to think about some of the challenges that they may face, mm-hmm. Having faced down ISIS, having survived ISIS, to think about what they may face in Australia, in Canada, even if they come to the U.S.
Indeed. You've also indicated that there is persecution taking place, not from the police, not from governments, but the hands of their closest loved ones. I'd like you to comment on this.
Yeah, this was one of the really heartbreaking sides of the story that we heard, and it's not uncommon in the Muslim world, in a Muslim context, when someone comes to faith in Christ, for that first line of persecution to be their own family members. And we met with a young man, he was 27 years old, and his own family tried to kill him. He said one of his brothers actually hit him with an iron in the head, trying to just crush his head. Thankfully, it cut his head open, but he survived. He didn't die. Today, the family members have kind of given up on the idea of physically killing him, but they act as if he's dead. They refuse to acknowledge him. If he walks into a room, they will not speak to him. They will not look at him. They will not acknowledge him. They certainly would not support him or help him in any way. And so they are just acting as if he has died because he left behind Islam and is following Jesus Christ. And one of the things he said about that decision, he said he really started to look at the life of Muhammad and at the teachings of Muhammad. And he said the teachings of Muhammad and the life of Muhammad, they don't match. He didn't live up to his own teachings. And so in his mind, as a young man, he's looking at that and thinking, well, why would I follow someone who didn't even live up to their own teachings? Why would I make that my sort of the person I want to be like? And so he left. He left Islam. He chose to follow Jesus Christ. But he has paid a horrible price for that within his own family. And I asked him, I said, you know, do you ever have second thoughts? This has cost you all of your family relationships. It's cost you all the help that you would normally expect in that part of the world from family relationships, from tribal connections, all of that is gone for him. I said, have you ever had second thoughts? And he said, I have experienced the truth. Why would I ever go back to the lie?
Wow, wow.
Why would I go backwards? And so for him, there were no second thoughts. There was no consideration of, man, I should have just stayed a Muslim and not had all this trouble. He is sold out for Jesus Christ.
Is he crossing paths with other people just like him, other believers in the faith, to help encourage one another?
You know, he is involved in a church and is connected to a pastor who is really trying to be an encouragement and trying to be a blessing to him. So there are some of those connections, but there are not enough of them. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that needs to happen is the church needs to become his family because he has lost his family. And so that's something that we can pray for, specifically with his situation. It is just that the church really will step up and be a family to him and provide those needs and those relationships that he's lost because of his decision to follow Christ.
Now, that is coming from within the, you know, family persecution in that regard, but are there governments in the Middle East that are indeed launching persecution against believers?
There certainly are governments that will persecute Christians. I think in particular of Iran. We were not in Iran. As Americans, we don't have that opportunity, unfortunately. But we know of ongoing persecution in Iran. And in fact, the persecution has gotten worse since the new president, President Raisi, took over earlier this year. He was, before he was president, he was part of the judiciary there. He actually helped rewrite the law on religious minorities. So he was one of the creators of the law that is used to persecute Christians. And he is, even since he has become president, there has been an uptick in arrests. There have been Christians who have been out on bail that have been told your bail is canceled, you need to report back to prison. And so even almost from the first hour that he was president, we have seen an increase in persecution. And the Christians in Iran, those our contacts who are working in Iran, say that is very intentional, that's a priority for him. And now that he is in the office of president, now that he has the authority to make those things happen, he is going to use that authority to come down on Christians.
Todd Nettleton with us here today from Voice of the Martyrs. Todd, I understand you also celebrated a major life change with a new believer. What happened?
We did. This was a really exciting thing because in the Islamic world, in the Islamic mindset, baptism is really the point of no return. At that point, you can't say, well, I was just, you know, kind of thinking about Christianity, or I was just studying the Bible to see how it compares to the Quran. When you get baptized, you're saying, I am a believer, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. And what you're saying in the Islamic world or to your Islamic relatives or friends or government is, I'm an apostate. I am a follower of Christ. I am no longer a Muslim. And the Quran teaches for apostates to be given one opportunity to return to Islam, and if they decline that opportunity, they should be killed. And so when you see a former Muslim getting baptized, and we had the chance to see three of them, and from the moment we walked in the room, it was kind of an evening service. We were able to gather together, and there was a service, and then there was this baptism. From the moment we walked in the room, you could tell who the three people getting baptized were. You could see it all over their faces, the joy of the Lord, the excitement of that relationship with him, the love that they've experienced in Christ that they did not experience in Islam. It just radiated off of them. And so to be able to be there and see them get baptized and understanding, they understand what they're doing. They are literally signing their own death warrant. If they are caught, if it's discovered that they have been baptized, they literally are signing their own death warrant. And yet, that's what they did, and not with fear and trepidation, but with a look of incredible joy and excitement on their faces.
Todd Nettleton with us here today, folks. We're going to pick up with our discussion after the break. We're talking about Middle East persecution and certainly to open our eyes again to what is taking place in countries of the Middle East. And we'll be also talking about praying for the persecuted church there as well. Stay with us. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
To Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, where is the Garden of Eden today?
Chris, we don't know. The location of the Garden of Eden is forever lost. After Adam and Eve were expelled from the garden, God placed an angel to guard the entrance so that no one could go there again. There is no such place on earth that's guarded by a fearsome angel. The Bible does tell us, however, that in the days of Noah, the world was totally restructured by that great flood. All landmarks of the previous world were destroyed. The earth was completely restructured by that flood, so we wouldn't expect to find the Garden of Eden. While the names of the rivers that are given in Genesis do correspond to modern-day river names, they don't actually correspond to any known rivers. Chris, let's go back to Genesis and think carefully about what it teaches there.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Todd Nettleton with us here today, really opening our eyes to the persecution that's taking place in the Middle East. And Todd, I can just hear some people saying or thinking in their minds right now, at least, well, these believers, why don't they just stay secret? Baptism is not something that is required for salvation. I mean, it is certainly by grace we're saved through faith, plus nothing else. Why wouldn't these people just stay secret in their faith rather than to go out and openly identify with Jesus Christ?
You know, I think because of the change that he makes. I think of one of the brothers that we talked to on this trip. He was actually witnessed to and led to Christ by his sister. And he said the first time that his sister mentioned Christ or mentioned Christianity, he said, I told her to shut up. I said, that kind of talk gets people killed. You need to be quiet.
Yeah.
But he saw the change in her life, and so slowly he started to listen, and he was more open, and she ultimately led him to faith in Christ. And now he's the one who is having those conversations, and he's planted house churches and is leading other people to Christ. And I think what it comes down to is, these former Muslims have lived in darkness. They have lived under the oppression of Islam, and now they've been set free, and they see the light, and they feel the love of the Lord and the love of Christ, and the idea of for God so loved the world, that idea does not exist in Islam. The Islamic God is not a God of love. He does not have love. He's sort of waiting to crush you. And so once they have left that darkness behind and seen the light, it's almost like you can't get them to be quiet about it. They feel so much joy and so much excitement, and they look around and see the people who are still trapped in that darkness, and here they have a key. Why would they not share it? How could they be quiet about it? In fact, one of the ladies that we talked to, she has been a Christian only 2 years, and in that 2 years, she has planted more than 30 house churches with people that she has led to the Lord. So she has been an incredible evangelist almost from the first day. And at the end of our conversation with her, I asked her this question, and I'm frankly a little embarrassed that I asked it now, because I said, you know, what would you say to Christians who aren't sharing their faith, Christians who aren't telling other people about Jesus? And she just looked at me with like this strange expression, and then she kind of said, are there Christians who do that? Are there really Christians?
Wow.
Are you really a Christian if you don't tell anybody, if you don't tell anybody about Jesus? And I just felt like I was 3 inches tall and wished I wouldn't have asked the question. But, you know, her attitude was, why would I not tell everyone I meet? I have found eternity. I have found the key. How could I keep it secret? How could I keep it to myself? And that's why they are boldly willing to share their faith. And they know the risk. I asked that lady, I said, you know, do you ever think about what could happen? Because you could be arrested. You could be put in prison. You could even be executed. And she said, you know, I try not to think about that. That's in the Lord's hands. I try not to think about it. I just try to keep telling people, keep doing the work that God has called me to do. And so they know the risks. But you cannot keep them quiet once they have experienced the love of Christ.
Oh, and Todd, that's so indicting upon closet Christians here in the U.S.
Yes, I felt like she was stepping on my toes.
Wow.
So
yeah, wow. If you would also just comment on Afghanistan here, because we know just a few months ago, it was the end of August, that President Biden just suddenly withdrew our troops from there, and this huge vortex, this vacuum of the Taliban took over there, and we right away heard about believers being persecuted or people with Bible apps on their phones. Are you able to either confirm or deny the plight of believers in Afghanistan?
No, the plight of believers is very, very real, and it's in similar to some of the stories we've talked about earlier. Many times, most of the time in Afghanistan, the persecution starts with your own family, because you being a Christian puts them at risk. It puts them at risk from the Taliban, but it also brings shame on them. It affects their position in society, and so most of the time, that persecution starts with your dad. It starts with your big brother. It starts with somebody in your family who says, wait a minute, we are a Muslim family. You can't be a Christian and be part of our family. We're not going to allow that to happen. So that's part of the story, is that persecution was there, you know, in June when the U.S. was in control. It was still there in September when the Taliban was in control. That hasn't changed. What has changed, obviously, is the Taliban, and they do not want an Afghan church. They do not want Afghan believers in Christ. But the amazing thing, and the people that Voice of the Martyrs is really seeking to help and encourage and equip, many Christians chose to stay in Afghanistan. When they knew the Taliban was taking over, they knew what the Taliban thinks about apostates, what they think about Christians, and yet their attitude was, if all of the Christians leave, who will present the gospel? Who will be a lighthouse in this culture? We're going to stay here. And, you know, I had an interview on VOM Radio earlier this year with a guy who has served in Afghanistan for many years. And one of the things he talked about, and I think it helps us understand, he talked about first-generation Christians and then second- and third-generation Christians. First-generation Christians, many of them are known to be Christians. Many of them have worked with Western aid organizations. They've worked with Westerners. They are very publicly identified as Christians. Most of those people had to leave. They simply just would have been executed, and so many of them had to leave. Mm-hmm. But the Afghan people that they led to Christ and the ones that those people led to Christ, what he called second- and third-generation Christians, they are much less well-known because they haven't had that interaction with Westerners that really makes you a target and makes you identified as, hey, you know, you've been hanging out with the Christians. Did they get you? Did they influence you? These second- and third-generation Christians, they are much more able to stay put and not be as well-known. Now, some of them have had to move maybe from their village into a city or from one city to another city, but many of them have made that amazing decision that, yes, we know the Taliban is taking over our country. Yes, we know it's going to be incredibly dangerous to follow Christ here, but we're going to stay here because Jesus needs representatives in Afghanistan.
Well, praise the Lord for their commitment. And again, another indictment upon us, because we cringe at the thought of persecution on so many different fronts. What about access to Bibles? You met people from different countries and so forth. Is there access to Bibles? Do they have God's Word available to them?
You know, it's one of the things that they are hungry for and that they are asking for is more Bibles. And we were able actually to deliver on in our suitcases some memory chips that have Bibles on them. We had a little bit of an adventure at the customs desk, but thankfully we were able to deliver those safely. They will end up in a very closed country in the Middle East, and so there is great hunger for God's Word. One of the things that Voice of the Martyrs is committed to is a Bible for every believer, and we believe every believer in Christ deserves to have their own copy of God's Word. And obviously, if you think about a place like Iran, if you think about a place like Afghanistan, that's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take people who are willing to take risks. And one of the things we have done in Iran over the years is we have set up underground printing operations there. And the people who run those presses and print those Bibles, they know within 1 to 3 years, they're going to go to jail. It is just simply, you just can't get away with it forever. It will be found out. You will be discovered. And yet, we're always able to recruit new people who are willing to take on that work. Think about that for a minute. Okay, I'm going to take this new job, and within 1 to 3 years, I'm going to go to jail for it. Yes, sign me up. You know, when do I start? Mm-hmm. That's really an amazing level of commitment. And it shows you the hunger that they know is there for the Bible. They want to fill that hunger. They want to have Bibles to give to their countrymen. And so It is one of the things that Voice of the Martyrs is very much committed to, and we know it is coming at a great cost to brothers and sisters in places like Iran or Afghanistan.
Todd, what suggestions do you have so that we continue to keep these things in remembrance of the persecuted church today or focus on the Middle East? I mean, today we're thinking about it, we're talking about it today, but what happens just a few hours from now or tomorrow or the next day? How can we stay engaged and informed and up to date on matters pertaining to the persecuted church?
Let me suggest two ways. One is the magazine that comes out every month from the Voice of the Martyrs. If you go to our website, persecution.com, right at the top of the page, there's a button that says free magazine. Just click on that. Give us your name and address. We will send that to you. It's free. It will always be free. And we want, that's a part of VOM's ministry, is helping you know what's happening, helping you know how to pray. So sign up for Voice of the Martyrs free magazine at persecution.com. The second thing I would commend to you is a website called iCommitToPray.com. And it's just all spelled out, iCommitToPray.com. And every week we post new prayer requests directly from the field. So we get a prayer request from Cuba, it goes up on I Commit to Pray. We get a prayer request from Afghanistan, it goes up on I Commit to Pray. And those can actually, once you sign up at the site, those will be emailed to you. So every week, usually it's on Friday morning, you'll get an email with at least three new requests. Hey, we're praying for this situation in Cuba, we're praying for this situation in Afghanistan, we're praying for this situation in Nigeria or China or North Korea or wherever. And so that is a way every single week to get a reminder to pray, one thing, but then also very fresh information from the field about how you can pray and who you're praying for, so that throughout the year, and you know, if that comes on Friday morning, you print that out, take it with you to Sunday school, pass it off to your pastor on Sunday, and really try to equip others around you to also be praying for our persecuted brothers and sisters. So iCommitToPray.com, sign up there, and sign up for the free magazine at persecution.com. Those are two ways to really help yourself to keep on praying throughout the year.
And friends, I just went to the website right now, iCommitToPray.com, and you're going to see stories there. And within the last week, you're going to see a story out of India about Hindu, here's the headline, Hindu extremist mob disrupts church service, burns family's home. Here's one from Nigeria, one killed, three abducted in church attack. And as we go about our daily lives and we wonder, you know, how are we going to get all this shopping done, Todd? There are those who are being persecuted for their faith, those who are having their livelihoods destroyed or their churches destroyed or burned, and they're just, you know, trying to exist as we go about this hurry and scurry here in the United States.
It is a great reminder for us. And you know, the thing that we often talk about at VOM and we want to emphasize is just our understanding of the body of Christ, that, mm-hmm. that we are all connected. In fact, in Romans 12, it talks about we belong to each other. Literally, they belong to us, we belong to them. And so as fellow members of the body of Christ, we want to be in prayer. We want to be lifting up the needs of our family members. And it's easy for us to remember that when it's our earthly family or our sort of physical family. We need to have that same level of commitment, that yeah. same level of memory when it's our spiritual family as well.
Friends, again, the website is persecution.com, and you can sign up for the free magazine, persecution.com, and certainly to stay in prayer, iCommitToPray.com, iCommitToPray.com. We're going to take a break, and we're also opening our phone lines here today on Crosstalk, and we would like to hear from you, the questions you may have here as it pertains to persecution. We'd also like to hear from those of you who are receiving the monthly magazine from Voice of the Martyrs. How is it impacting you? How is it keeping your focus on praying for the persecuted church? So those of you who are receiving the magazine, just give us a call. Just give a testimony how it impacts you. And if you have a question here as it pertains to persecution, our number 800-733-9829. We'll be right back.
Christmas has become ground zero in an ongoing culture war where nativity scenes are nixed. Merry Christmas becomes Happy Holidays, and even the word Christmas is considered by some as offensive. Addressing this ongoing battle is the book, The War on Christmas, edited by Bodie Hodge from Answers in Genesis. with full-color pictures and illustrations throughout. The War on Christmas provides answers concerning a host of issues and misconceptions surrounding Christmas. You'll learn where the name Christmas comes from. Is it a pagan holiday? What about replacing Christ with a letter X? You'll find chapters on the Christmas star, the virgin birth, the magi, why creation is important to Christmas, and so much more. This book also presents the gospel, which is often lost as this time is celebrated. The War on Christmas is available for a donation of $18 by calling VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
Taking your calls here today on Crosstalk with Todd Nettleton from Voice of the Martyrs. He's the Chief of Media Relations there, Message Integration for VOM. And we're talking about persecution, primarily focusing on the Middle East, though our topic will not be limited to the Middle East. So if you have a question as it relates to persecution, pick up your phone, give us a call. Also, if you are a recipient of the magazine, from Voice of the Martyrs, give us a call here as well. Just let us know how it impacts your life. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Again, that's 800-733-9829. We have Mercy calling in. Hi, Mercy. You're on the air.
Hi. Nice talking to you, and thanks for getting me on the air. So I've been supporting this, the Voice of the Martyr, for maybe a few years now, and I really enjoy the ministry. Mm-hmm. And through the ministry, it has impacted me and, you know, motivated me to pray more for the persecuted church. Yeah. And every now and then, I do present, you know, Christians that are being persecuted worldwide to my prayer group that we should pray for the persecuted Christians. So yes, I thank God for this talk show, and I thank God for the Voice of the Martyrs, and I pray may God continue to be with every one of us and every Christian out there that have been persecuted. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Percy.
Thank you.
And thank you, Mercy. And Todd, this is really seeing fulfillment of the hope of your magazine coming through, and somebody, you know, praying and being aware, and then taking it to others to alert them as well.
Yeah, I've got a big smile on my face because that's exactly what we're hoping for. Is someone is inspired and encouraged, they pray, and then they share it with others and say, hey, you need to know these stories too. So thank you, Mercy, for sharing, and thank you for just encouraging us today.
Let's go next to Hollywood, Maryland, and we have Laura calling. Hi, Laura, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim and Todd. I have been absolutely inspired by having the Voice of the Martyrs magazine show up at our door. My children, I have 8 children, and when we do our morning Bible time, we incorporate once in their prayer time for them, and we read the stories about the brothers and sisters that are over there being persecuted. And it's a very good and humbling reminder of how very blessed we in America are, and we do not know what persecution is. And so I just love having it, and then having the gifts and the reminders and the bundles, which we're actually getting ready to sit down and get some bought and sent off for them as well, Bible packages and whatnot.
Great. Wonderful. Thank you, Laura, for the call. Mm-hmm. Todd, tell us what she's talking about. What is these bundles she's talking about for Voice of the Martyrs?
Well, I'm so encouraged, Laura, that you're sharing these stories with your kids. And I think sometimes as parents, we maybe wonder, well, you know, that's kind of a hard story. If we're going to talk about, you know, someone being beaten up or someone being thrown in jail mm-hmm. because they follow Jesus, how are my kids going to process that? You know, how am I going to? There are ways that you can do that in an appropriate way for children. And I just believe so much in the seeds that you're planting, Laura, the seeds that so many others are planting into their kids. My dad read to my brother and I the stories of martyrs. I'll never forget him reading the book Lords of the Earth by Don Richardson, him reading Brutschko by Bruce Olson to my brother and I as 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old boys. And some of those stories I really believe still echo in the work that I'm doing today. I don't know that I would be doing this without those seeds that he sowed into my life. So I just encourage that. And you mentioned we do have ways that you can send encouragement packs, family med packs, action packs, things that you pack, and especially if you have children to be involved in that packing process, letting them see, hey, we're doing something on a very practical level that's going to go across the sea. It's going to encourage. It's going to bless our brothers and sisters over there. It's just a great connection point. And like I say, especially for young people to see, oh, you know, I wear socks. We put a pair of socks in that action pack to go over to Sudan or to wherever so somebody else can have a pair of socks too.
Well, you know, Todd, I was thinking as you were responding to the caller here as well, you know, from the earliest ages, 2 and 3 and 4, we're teaching children in Sunday school the story of Daniel and the lion's den and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, so what you, in essence, present in the Voice of the Martyrs magazine is modern-day Daniels, modern-day Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednegos, modern-day Jeremiahs and others as well.
We absolutely do, and in fact, I'm recalling a story from a lady in Ethiopia, and the radical Muslims came to her village. They actually set her house on fire while she was inside of it, and one of the things she yelled out is, "My God is the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego," and she walked out of that burning house without being burned. So those stories, there really is a connection between those stories in the Bible and what our brothers and sisters are living out today.
We've got Lynn calling from Erie, Pennsylvania. Lynn, you're on the air.
Hi, I wonder if you could tell me what it's like to be a Christian or an American missionary in Turkey and what direction that country is going.
Thank you, Lynn.
It's going the wrong direction, I'm sorry to say. A lot of Americans, a lot of foreign Christians have been kicked out of Turkey in the last about 2 years. I think the last number I heard is more than 30 foreigners. Some of them have been there for decades. They speak the language. They know the culture. And when their visa comes up for renewal, oh, sorry, we're not going to renew your visa. You have to leave. Sometimes when they try to come back into the country at the airport, it's like, oh, sorry, your file has been stamped. Don't allow, no entry. And so they're being turned away. So it is not a country that's going in the right direction. Now, there are still Christians in Turkey. There are still a growing church there. But it's certainly, as far as foreign workers, it has become much more difficult. I think we all know the story of Pastor Andrew Brunson being put in prison there. That is one symptom of what we see as it relates to foreign Christians. As we see a growth of radical Islam and President Erdogan more and more wanting to kind of espouse that radical Islam or identify himself as very, very Islamic, that has created pressure against the church, including foreign Christians.
Thank you for the call. By the way, our number is 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Kathy in Monroe, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hi. Yeah, I have the Voice of the Martyr magazine. I've listened, you know, read it for years and support the missions there, you know, with the different packages and stuff. But what really has influenced me is I saw the movie, The Tortured for Christ, and how, you know, we do so much spending, and it's like, you know, do I spend money on stuff that's not going to last? But when I have eternity in sight and I see our brothers and sisters that are persecuted and killed, I mean, it just tears my heart apart. It's like, what can I do, you know? And so rather than, you know, spending money on just junk, you know, I mean, the wants, you know, to give that money to whoever, to get it on the front line workers, you know, and there are times I just feel so helpless because it's like, how do we get this stuff to them? And you know, their lives are at stake, you know, and here in America, you know, we've been so accustomed to all the comforts and everything, but persecution really is not out of the ordinary. It's really what the church is. I mean, Jesus said that they hated him, they're going to hate us, and blessed are those that are, you know, persecuted for righteousness' sake. And so I just want to be able to be bold like like them, you know. That, I mean, they're right there, you know, and mm-hmm. and they lose everything for the sake of Christ. And but so it's really affected me to just really want to support, you know, our brothers and sisters in Christ, and to be able to be bold, because what am I going to do, you know, when the persecution here, you know, I mean, it's tough.
Yeah, and the question is, wouldn't you want people around the world praying for you? And thank you, Kathy, for that testimonial. And you know, that really bears down. I mean, because we are seeing religious persecution increasing here in the United States on different fronts, not like what we're seeing and what we've talked about here today on the program here, Todd. But, I asked my, wouldn't we want people around the world praying for us if we were going through the times that they're going through?
We certainly would. And, you know, many times I will be asked that question, okay, so if persecution is coming to America, what do we need to do? How do we need to prepare ourselves? And I always tell people two things. One is the scripture, and Kathy mentioned the fact that, you know, Jesus talked about his followers being persecuted. The New Testament is full of writings about being persecuted, about facing trials. And so first thing we need to do to prepare ourselves is study what the scripture says. And then the second thing that I encourage people to do is know the stories of those who have already been persecuted. Mm. Because the analogy I like to give as a sports fan is, hey, if I'm going to play the Patriots next Sunday, I want to watch the video of the team that beat the Patriots last Sunday. I want to know what worked against them. Mm. If I'm going to be persecuted, I want to know what has worked against persecution, what has kept people faithful, what has kept them joyful in the midst of persecution. And so studying the scriptures is the first step, then knowing the stories of those who have already been there or who are there right now going through persecution is the best way to prepare our own hearts. And obviously, you know, Voice of the Martyrs, we talked about the magazine, the Voice of the Martyrs has lots of resources to help us know those stories and study those stories so that we can be prepared if and when persecution is on our doorstep.
Well, again, friends, you're hearing people impacted by the magazine, and Todd is here today offering the magazine free. Just go to persecution.com, and right in the upper right corner, you'll see the words free magazine. You click on that, you put in your address, of course, and you'll start getting that magazine from Voice of the Martyrs. Again, that's persecution.com. The other site we gave, iCommitToPray.com. Let's go next to Charlotte. Hi, Charlotte. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. I'm a little nervous, but I just love the Persecuted Christian magazine, and I pray for them every day, too. I have the calendar that you send me once a year, and on each day, there's somebody to pray for also. And I love reading these stories and praying for them. And I also share the magazine with my husband. If I come across a story that I think he should read, I just say, oh, you'll have to read this. And then I also give it to my grown granddaughter and her husband when I'm finished with the magazine, and she loves having it. So, and we support them too. But the main thing is you learn what people are going through and through for their faith in Christ, and that they're willing to even die for their faith. They don't back down. And this is such an encouragement. You never know what's going to come here either. I mean, you don't know. Mm-hmm. But the idea is I can pray for them, and that's what we're told to pray for our brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
And Jesus loves them because they are standing up for him too, and they love him.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Charlotte. Todd, another encouraging phone call here today.
Very encouraging. I love how these stories are impacting people's hearts, and mm-hmm. how we hear, even in Charlotte's voice, we hear the connection that she feels with those who are going through persecution. That's exactly what the Bible tells us to do. That's exactly what the New Testament talks about. Remember those in prison as if you were in prison with them. That I hear that connection in the voices of our callers today, and I'm so thankful for it.
We'll be back in 1 minute. Todd Nettleton with us from Voice of the Martyrs, right here on Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Well, let me say Merry Christmas. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, cosmos, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but should have everlasting life." The great story of Christmas is the incarnation of Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. He who knew no sin became as if he had sinned. Well, he didn't have any sin. He was perfect and sinless. That's why he's our Savior. And his righteous life was credited or imputed to our account through faith and repentance. You see, salvation is available to all, but it's only applicable to those through faith and repentance. Use this Christmas season to proclaim the reason for Christ's birth, that there might be restitution of our relationship with our Holy Father through faith and repentance. Available to all, but only applicable to those who surrender their life to Christ through faith and repentance.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Todd Nettleton is with us today from Voice of the Martyrs. And again, you can go to their website, that is persecution.com. Click on the little button to get the magazine. And I know some of you are listening and say, we don't have internet access, or we're elderly and we don't have a computer. How can I get it? Well, I'm going to give you a toll-free number. I'm going to give you a toll-free number that you may call Voice of the Martyrs and say, I just heard Todd on Crosstalk on VCY, and I'd like to get your magazine. And they'll be able to, they understand, Todd, they'd be able to take their name and address and get them signed up, correct?
They will be ready for you.
Okay, folks, here's the number. It is 1-800-747-0085. That's 1-800-747-0085. You can mention that you heard Todd on radio today on Crosstalk here on VCY, and you'd like to get that magazine, and they'll be able to take it from there. We've got Scott calling from Jefferson, Wisconsin, and Scott, you're on the air.
Hi, everybody. I have a question. We have persecution all over the world for Christians. What about here in America? We have false converts. Todd, how is it that you follow the NFL, but yet you call yourself a Christian?
Scott, let me just interrupt, and I don't know why you're wanting to sabotage a program like that, because all he did was use an illustration on a team to help us understand something. So it is not that he is worshiping the NFL. He simply used it as an illustration. And in a day in which we're dealing with believers who are suffering on account of their faith, and he was using that as a means to certainly help us understand that, because that's the language many people talk in our nation today, I think it's important for us to realize the point, Todd, that you're trying to make.
Yeah, that was certainly my point. It is just using an illustration from the world of sports to say, hey, how do we prepare for persecution? Let's look at the people who've already been through it.
Yeah. Let's go to Alice next in Arkansas. Alice, you're on the air.
Thank you so much for taking my call. This is an area of prayer that's been on my heart for a while. I want everybody to know that yesterday God healed me from vertigo, terrible, terrible dizziness. I feel like he's given me almost a second life
to live the Lord
for him. And to pray is my desire. And so I really care about the persecuted church. The Apostle Paul said, we're to pray for those in bondage as though we were in bonds with them.
Yeah.
And another thing, if we love Jesus, then we truly want to do his will. And that's my heart's desire.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Alice, for that passion. And certainly a fervent prayer. One last call, and then we're going to have Todd give us a quick update on India and China. Diana in New Lisbon, you're on the air.
Hi. My grandfather came from Romania, which is where the founder of the Voice of the Martyrs and the films and everything came from. I have 19 of the Torchlighters films, the DVDs. I love every one of them. I get the Voice of the Martyrs magazine. And my grandfather came here when he was 17 years old from Romania, and he started working at the Regal Guitar Factory as a teenager. And my grandmother came here at the age of four. Well, actually, my great-grandmother brought her over here. And they were both born in 1905, and somehow they met in the city of Chicago, and they ended up getting married. And it was just a great story about how they met and everything. Mm-hmm. But the reason they came here was because of Nazi persecution and everything over there.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Diana, for sharing that. Todd, we have just 3 minutes remaining left in the program, and I know you've got a burden on your heart. We've talked a lot about Middle East persecution going on. But there is much happening in the rest of the world, and I know you want to just focus a moment here on India and China as well.
Yeah, particularly on China as it relates. We're getting ready for the Olympics. After Christmas, it'll be all Olympics all the time here in America. And just remember that while we're watching the Olympics, there is persecution of our brothers and sisters in China. I think of Pastor Wang Yi serving a 9-year prison sentence right now. In China, because he had the audacity to lead an unregistered church, to lead an underground church there in China. So I want to encourage people, especially as we approach the Olympics, to remember our brothers and sisters in China. And the other is India, just a Hindu nationalist movement that has taken power in India. The head of the country, the president of the country, is a Hindu nationalist. They teach that India is literally, they will teach that it is Hindu soil, and that if you are living on that Hindu soil, then you should be a Hindu. And if you're not, you should go find a different place to live, or you should convert. So what does that mean for Christians? It means pastors are beaten, they're arrested, they're accused of bribing people to change their faith. And when the police show up, instead of maybe arresting the mob that's beating the pastor or the mob that just burned down the church building, they will often arrest the pastor and say, hey, you're causing trouble here. That's why this mob came and beat you. So both of those countries certainly want to mention as we finish out the year, as we're trying to equip people to pray, for sure be in prayer for our brothers and sisters in China and in India.
Now, your magazine does, just so people know, it covers persecution coming from nations all around the world, correct?
More than 70 countries around the world where Christians are persecuted, and not all of them will show up in the magazine over the course of a year, but most of them will.
Mm-hmm. And you've got other resources there too, books and so forth, to focus on a different country every day and prayer, specific prayer requests, and those are available. They'll see that on the website as well.
They will. Persecution.com is the main Voice of the Martyrs website, persecution.com. And as you say, the free magazine is just one of many resources. The Global Prayer Guide for 2022 is available, or will be available just in the next few days, to help people pray throughout the year. We want to equip Christians to be able to pray effectively for our brothers and sisters who are persecuted.
Again, folks, that is, let me give you both websites and the toll-free number here. It is persecution.com, and you can sign up for the free magazine there at persecution.com, or you may call this toll-free number, 1-800-747-0085. That's 1-800-747-0085. Just ask for the magazine. You heard Todd on the radio, and you'd like to obtain it. And also for a specific request, icommittopray.com. Well, Todd, we appreciate you being on the program today and certainly opening our eyes once again to this topic of persecution and praying for those who are suffering on account of their faith.
It has been my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Great. If you'll stay on the line here just a moment. Friends, again, Todd Nettleton from Voice of the Martyrs. Again, check out their site. And by all means, just ask even the Lord to help keep the persecuted church in your mind as you go throughout your day, and pray for them just as being in bonds with them. God bless you, folks. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.